Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Trommels den regn off my kopp. Ting via däckar måste si klein för den topp. Geht mir kein Sachlin. Vi trommels.
Hey everyone, it's me and it's Kill Me Now and I'm Judy Gold and this is our new opening. Oh, what do you think, huh? Anyway, I just want to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah. I have had so much fun talking to Jay Cohen. I hope you enjoy part two. He is such a doll. Such a doll. Not a real person, a doll. So please enjoy. I know I did. Get his book. We'll get my book too. Jew-ish is his book. Yes, I can say that. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble is my book, and it's a great Hanukkah gift. Enjoy part two. I love you. So, your parents got divorced before you came out, correct?
Correct.
And did you know they were going to get divorced?
No, it was a complete shock.
No fucking way!
Yeah, no. Complete shock. Rocked our family. It was, it was
like, you had no idea there were problems.
No clue. We were like, we were a tight-knit family. Obviously, now as an adult looking back, there are so many things that were just like, we're not, like it just wasn't healthy.
Right.
In so many ways, in the way that they were, they definitely brought out some of the lesser qualities in each other.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Okay. So then, you know you're gay when you're one. How old were you when you realized I'm a lesbian?
I knew early, but it didn't happen really until college. Until you have that opportunity with other
I feel like
on you when you're like, okay.
Well, I had guys hitting on me, and I was like, ugh. I feel like I knew in the something's different, and then at adolescence when I start having crushes, then I'm like, oh. And then, inside, don't ever tell anyone because your life
exactly.
will be over. Which
exactly.
is so horrible. So you come out, well, since your parents are divorced, who'd you come out to first?
I came out to them both the same weekend. I was visiting home. I told my sister first. And then she was like, you have to tell them because I can't.
All right.
This is a secret. That's so selfish.
Okay.
Like, you're, she made up. It's like, you're so
everything's
selfish.
About her.
Me,
yeah.
You're telling me and I want to keep the secret.
Right. So you tell her and she's like, duh, or?
She was just like, okay.
Okay.
She, I think then they all
who do you go to next?
My mother. I think it was my sister's birthday dinner because she made about her. I'll make it about me.
Right.
It was at this nice steakhouse on Long Island. We still go to. I told my mother. She obviously made it about her. Her first.
What'd she say?
Oh, of course I knew. It's like
yeah.
And then I told my father, and he was. Then we had lunch the following day, and everyone was so supportive, and it was just like.
Oh my God, that's so much like my story.
It's just like they're like, okay.
Just like everyone's story.
Okay.
That I love that you know how lucky you are because there's so many kids.
Truly.
So you say after you came out, you felt more connected. I mean, you're only 28?
I'll be 28 7? In December. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay. Ugh, I hate you. Because I've gotten this question so many, like, and I want to punch the people in the face. Are you more of a lesbian or are you more Jewish? And it's like, I am, being gay is who I love and being Jewish is who I am, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I think. It's how I talk. It's my hair. It's my, you know, it's everything about me.
Yeah.
But you said you felt more connected to your queerness than your Jewness.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
I think it came down to society.
Right.
If we look at metropolitan areas, we look at mainstream identity politics, the idea of coming out, be proud, like
right.
Wave that rainbow flag, yes, queen, all that bullshit. But with Judaism, it's like, no, you better keep it to shul. Like
right.
Don't put away that star. Do all these
right.
things. Like, be Judaism is still considered something that you keep in the privacy of your home, in the privacy of a place of worship. But when you leave this home, you are just another white Gentile walking
right.
around New York.
Right. Not for me. But yes, that's why. Yeah,
but that's. But it's. It, and a lot yes. of it was ingrained in fear because being in New York.
Oh, of course.
Like, yeah, hold hands with your boyfriend. Walk down the street. You're going to be safe. But still, when it comes to Jewish, like, don't let them know you're Jewish just
right,
yet
right,
until
right.
you know that you're in a safe space.
Right. Yeah, I was walking.
It's ingrained.
I was walking with my sister-in-law the other day. She's from Arizona. I mean, she's not from Arizona, but she lives in Arizona. She's lived there for like 40 years. And we're walking on the Upper West Side. And I said, what's it like walking in a place where most of the people that pass by you are Jewish? And she's like, I know, it's crazy. It's like... You know, people don't realize that, you know, you do have to sort of hide your identity sometimes. I don't because I am out of my fucking mind. But
no, you as you shouldn't. That's what I'm trying to change. We got to change
right.
that.
That's
Everyone's
what I love.
More proud of it. Yeah.
So, you know, I always strive as a lesbian. I came out on stage because I had a child, my first child in 96. So I was like, I'm not. Like, what kind of person am I if I don't get on stage and talk about my family? And what kind of message is that to my kids? You've said that you feel obligated to show the LGBTQ+ community that it's worth fighting for a normal life, that it's possible. And that is something I share with you, that especially when I talk to kids like at the Hetrick Martin Institute or, you know, these kids who live in areas where you cannot be a gay.
Yeah.
Look, you know, that's why to me it was so important to come out as a gay parent. Like, I have it all. We weren't allowed to get married, but I have a family. You know, we do the same shit you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love you, and representation is so important. So... You meet Alex, and he's Iraqi, and
Persian Jewish. They're Iraqi Jews that grew up in
and Persian. I know. I have a friend who yes. Oh, by the way, I just want to mention to everyone that Jake graduated the Culinary Institute with a 3.75. Okay. 3.75.
I love it.
Okay. I hate you. So here you are. How did you meet Alex?
On
FYI.
Hinge, a dating app.
Yes. Someone did that to me in the audience the other day. I was on stage and there were these two lesbies in the front. And I go, oh, are you a couple? And do you call yourself lesbies? Because, you know, now it's like, yeah, you know, there's 100 names. Yeah. And they're like, yes, we're lesbies. I said, how'd you meet? And they said, Hinge, it's a dating app. And I go, I'm not that old. Like, what the fuck? I know what a dating app is.
Yes, we met on Hinge. But it was okay. Funny, 7 years ago, and Hinge is different now than it was then. Back then, you had to have a Hinge. So you had to have a third degree connection through Facebook. So you had to be a friend of a friend in order to match.
Who was the mutual friend?
It's funny. It's this guy. His name is Austin. Neither of us had ever met him in person. Alex grew up in Florida, and he went to UF in his town. So he had, we both had friends who were trying to set us up with him. So we were Facebook friends, but neither of us had ever met him in person. Funny enough, fast forward to us dating and being in a serious relationship, I found out that Austin and his boyfriend lived in the city, invited them to Shabbat. They're now some of our best friends. We see them.
Everyone, get on the chair.
Everything.
All right.
Yeah.
You meet Alex. He's a Mizrahi Jew.
Yeah.
You describe yourself as the book. Everyone has to get this fucking book. I'm not kidding. And this is a great Hanukkah present along with my book.
That's true. Oh my God. We'll do a bundle deal.
Yes. Let's do a bundle deal about free speech. And it's very Jewish, my book. Yes, I can say
that.
So you meet Alex and you describe yourself as being Jewish, which is why, you know, and I love that you expand on the ishness of, you know, how everyone uses ish. And it really is. From us, from the Jews. Origin is Jewish.
It's true.
So you realize that he's not, like, he's done nothing Jewish in his life. Like, he's just, correct. He's a Jew, but he's not, you know, he doesn't.
It's very similar. We see so many things in terms of even the history of the ish in America.
Right.
A lot of it comes from the inherited trauma of when you go through these traumatic things. A lot of people turn to becoming more secular. And Iraqi Jews were kicked out of Iraq in 1950. So it was his grandparents' generation. His mother grew up in Iran, between Iran and Israel. And they were kicked out during the revolution.
Right.
And when you go through so much war and strife and having to pick up the pieces and rebuild so many times, it's understandable. However, it all comes down to who they marry. So a lot of his mother's cousins have married Persian Jews, and they're typically a little bit more Orthodox. So his cousins grew up with a more traditional Jewish upbringing. Him and his sister had a very, very secular upbringing.
You know what's so funny? I have my friend Ruth, who's a Persian Jew, and she married an Ashkenazi Jew, and it was like she married, you know, the Pope.
A goy,
Yeah.
Truly,
you know, and it's like, it's such a whole other. So, food-wise, he had never heard of babka or gefilte fish.
Never. I'll never forget, a few weeks into dating, I had the flu. And he's like, what can I do? What can I get?
Oh, my God, I love him!
And I'm like, I need matzo ball soup. I need chicken soup immediately. He was like, where do I get it from? He had no idea.
Oh, my God.
Like, we lived around the corner from Sarge's. So luckily, he found it and got me a bunch. And it became like our tradition then to go to Sarge's. But it was so funny because I was so shocked. Like, how can you not know what babka is? How can you have never had matzo ball soup?
Right.
And he just shot back with like all of the dishes he grew up for, the same rituals, same holidays that I had never heard of. Most people never heard of kubba. Most people never heard of toddy. Most people never heard of any of these things that are so integral to the Jewish ritual of other Jews. And we live in America, which is, when we think about our representation, it comes down to Larry David. Like, if he hasn't set the groundwork of what Judaism is in America, that's it. There's no looking outside of it. Any other description of Judaism is in Israel. It's like the Faudas. It's it's not American. In America, we all eat matzo ball soup.
Right,
that's not the truth.
Right. And everyone does. Like, and bagels. And, you know.
Bagel. That's my biggest thing that I'm trying to fight for is that America needs to know that bagels are Jewish food. And,
right.
And it's not just like a thing.
How did they not know that? You know.
Because they don't say. No one says any. No one likes to say anything to Judaism. Seinfeld. Seinfeld's one of the most Jewish shows ever. They don't say
never,
Jewish.
Never mention it. Never mention it.
It kills. Same with Goldberg's. Goldberg's. I have a big, big pet peeve with Goldberg's.
Right.
Too. Such a.
I am so sick of it. Right. It's really. And you know, as a comic, I was constantly told through the 80s and 90s, "You're too Jewish. You're too Jewish." Until I finally said, "That's who I am."
That's it.
Like you're. That's it. I'm not too Jewish. You hate yourself. Yeah, it's so interesting. Seinfeld, they never mention being Jewish. Larry David on Curb, like, you know, it's all Jews. We're entertaining.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
You talk about how emotional it makes you when you talk about your connection to Judaism. And it's so, like, the same.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of crying.
A lot of crying. And also, like, when I know you don't like shul. You don't go to synagogue.
I do. We do high holidays. You find the right one. We do the high holidays. And
oh, all right. You got to come. Will you come to B'nai Jeshurun with me? And we can go out for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's all music and dancing. You would love it. Anyway.
It reminds me of that. There's that episode of Difficult People where they have with Sandra Bernhardt, where they have like a group of young Jewish writers, and they all go to shul together.
Right.
That's their networking.
You talk about how you can be Jewish without doing all this, you know. But. Okay, I'm going to preface this with, I grew up in a very observant home. And we, even though we all couldn't stand each other, we did Shabbat every Friday night. And we were kosher. And we, my mother made a sukkah. I mean, it was very Jewy. Okay. Every Friday night. And oh, I couldn't wait for the challah. Man, my grandmother would come on Friday and, you know, chicken, the whole thing. And then we'd go to synagogue and they would have dessert. All I wanted was the brownies. Anyway, when I had my kids and I moved to this building and my neighbors are Orthodox and they had Shabbat dinner every Friday. And we just started having Shabbat dinner every Friday night. And it became, and it was how I grew up, but it wasn't as fun when I grew up because it was just us. But, you know, Marjorie, my neighbor, we would go over there. Everyone would cook something and we'd invite people. And it was, I looked forward. That was my favorite night of the week. You just stop. Just stop. Yes. And for my kids growing up in this house where like, mommy's going away, mama's going away, you know, traveling, mommy works at night, mama works during the day, you know, for them to know exactly what was happening on one night of the week was so important. And I learned to love Shabbat. And if you watch our Celebrity Wife Swap, we have Shabbat dinner in my tiny apartment.
Wait, who did you swap?
Oh, God,
with?
Please. Elisa and I swapped with Penn Jillette and his wife, Emily.
Wow.
And Penn, and they are like atheist beyond, like so anti-religion. Yeah. Emily grew up Jewish,
wait,
by the way.
Is Penn Jillette like a Jew by heritage?
No, his wife is.
Okay.
So Elisa tried to do the Shabbat dinner with them and it was horrible. She felt terrible. And then, you know, Emily, we're sitting here on the Upper West Side with my neighbors and all, you know, we're all just drinking and doing the prayers and she wouldn't participate in the prayers or anything. But, you know, I love that you have the prayers in the book. But, you know, I realized that Shabbat dinner is such a bit, and I even pitched a show. I pitched a show to the Food Network that where we would have Shabbat dinner from different parts of the world and invite different people.
Well, let's see if we can get that back off the ground because that's exactly everything I do. I think too often people take it at face value of like, oh, this is, they think that we're rapping tefillin and davening.
Right.
Fuck. Even the concept of the prayers and why I put them in the book.
I love it. And you do alternate prayers.
Alternate prayers, but also explaining the reason why.
Right.
And that's the most important thing is so much of Judaism is just like, rote memory of things that were like sleeper cells where all of a sudden you start singing like the Shema and everyone can break
right.
it out.
It's like, I know. And you don't forget it.
But when you start to understand the why we do these things, why we say a prayer for wine, why for candles, why for challah, you start to realize that everything in Judaism is tied to some type of moral or ethical teaching.
Right.
Helps you be a better person, a better community member.
Tikkun olam, heal the world.
Exactly. And when you separate, obviously organized religion has a lot of issues. Lots of issues.
Yeah.
But when you start to break down the meanings behind everything, you're able to be a little bit more selective in what you want to keep into your home, into your celebration of identity. And Shabbat is the biggest thing that everyone needs. I think in one of the best comparisons I ever got is it's like yoga. Yoga was a Hindi practice and now everyone does because it's
right.
Shabbat is the same way.
And we would invite non-Jews to Shabbat. They loved it.
They love it.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway,
we got offline about something else, but there's something in the works that I need to talk to you
about. Okay. All right. So you fall in love with Shabbat and you decide with Alex, we're going to have Shabbat, which I fucking love. And this is the part of the podcast where I'll probably cry. I just love, you know, I often think about how you can learn history through art. You know, like you don't have to take a history class where it's just factual. you know, I was a music major. I learned a lot about history through my music history class. People learn a lot about what was going on in the world through their art history class. Jewish food, you say, is constantly evolving. And the fact this book is so amazing, because the history of the Jews is in that fucking food, that we were kicked out of here, that and we went here and we used those herbs, and then we got kicked out of here and we moved over here and we used that meat, and then we got, you know, and Jewish food is so much about fleeing persecution.
It's fascinating because it people love a monolith. People love, like, when they hear a dish, they're like, this is the only way you make it, and this is the country it comes from, and it's very simple to understand. And Jewish food is so complicated because there's so many layers. And my favorite part of all of this is, what does it mean in the context of America, where we all are? And it's actually coming up right now because I'm applying. There's a big kind of cookbook award thing that I'm nominating for, and they have these categories, and one is American and one is international. And something that's come up is, what is Jewish food? What is Jewish food when it is this combination of international cuisines that has shifted through the context of the American food complex?
Right.
So things like kasha varnishkas.
Yeah, right.
That's a European dish. But guess what? They didn't have bow tie box pasta.
Right, exactly.
It was handmade noodles. And now we talk about the way it evolved here. Same thing with brisket. People talk about the regional differences of, they're adding ketchup, they're adding Coke, they're adding Lipton soup mix.
Right.
All of these things that are so American that get involved in what our celebration of all these foods are for all of these rituals are.
Right.
Deli culture, appetizing culture, it's all rooted in foreign dishes evolving in America. And that's only continuing. And I think it's something that I love, 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 but more so than that is how broad the diaspora is.
Right.
And another thing, diaspora, everyone loves the word diaspora today.
Right.
Diaspora with a capital D, guess
right.
what? It's
true. Right.
That's just like ghetto. Like, there's so many things that are so lost into the origins of it working with Jewish persecution.
Right.
And we don't spend enough time talking about the foods and the rituals of Jewish communities across the world. And that's what we got to do.
I know
better.
That's what I pitched. And they were like, you're a lesbian and a Jew.
Let's be clear. It's like, they're coming out with like a Christmas movie. They're right now.
It's like there's 8,000 Christmas. Right. Christmas. Our food is so interesting. That's the thing. Also, you know, you think of Passover. You think of Passover, which matzah is from fleeing persecution. It's unleavened bread. We didn't have time. And then all the recipes that came with that. The idea, like, a lot of people don't know, Hanukkah. It's not a major holiday, guys, and it's not Jewish Christmas. But Hanukkah, like, the fact that all our holidays have food associated with it. So Hanukkah, you know, Judah Maccabee, the temple was destroyed. He gets back in there. There's enough of oil in the candelabra for one day, and the oil lasts for 8 days. The candelabra stays lit for 8 days, which is why we light the candles. But do you know what else we do, fuckheads? We eat fried food, oil, 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 you know?
But this is something that I get angry about with publications, television shows.
Right.
Come on our show, make us a thing for Hanukkah. But they actually don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They want, like, oh, fried food and a little yum, yum.
Right, market. Right, right.
And I make it very clear, like, guess what? Hanukkah is a celebration of rebellion. It's a celebration of a moment in history in which Judaism was outlawed and we fought for our right to exist.
Right.
And this context of the miracle and the oil, all that stuff, it's beautiful. And the latkes and the donuts, that's great. But if you are not calling attention to the fact that the reason we celebrate it is to remind ourselves of times in which we were not allowed to be ourselves,
right,
and we have to fight for our right to exist constantly in perpetuity.
Right.
then you've missed the whole point of why we celebrate.
Right. And same with Passover. Come and do a Passover thing. And wait, I have to tell you the story. So I did Chopped All Stars, right? Shut up.
I love how you're so involved in Food Network.
I was. Now that I don't know what happened. Anyway, so I'm doing Chopped All Stars, and the first thing we do and by the way, like, I guess maybe 4 weeks before, I was cutting an avocado. My mother was annoying me on the phone, and the kids were fucking. And my kids are like, I'm an avocado. And my neighbor had come in and taken one of the avocados. And my mother's like, I remember it was Easter Sunday. And she was like, don't come visit me. I don't want to see you today. Which meant, please come, you know. And I was like, oh, my God. And the kids are like, can you make avocado and like an scrambled eggs with avocado and a burrito? And I'm like, oh, my God. And then I go to get the avocado and my neighbor took it. And then I get another message from my mother's like, seriously, don't. And I take the knife to get the pit out of the avocado. And instead of going like that, I go like that. It slips. So I have like, it's all tingly. I have like hardly any feeling here.
Oh my God.
And that happened like a month before I did it. So I do the, so the first thing, the appetizers are, it's me, Layla Ali, who's obviously going to win. What's his name from, NSYNC. Oh, fuck.
Lance Bass?
No, the
Joey Fatone.
Yes. Who owns a restaurant. And then, what's his name? Oh, my God. This is so menopausal. You know, gay figure skater does all the...
Johnny Weir.
Yes! Oh, my God. Yeah. I love you.
We should do... We'll do Celebrity Pyramid.
Okay. And so, we have... First box is chicken cutlets. Kujikang, like Korean spice.
Gochujang.
Yeah, whatever. Gochujang. Avocado, which I was like, great. Fucking avocado. And vanilla cupcakes. I know. So I grill the chicken. And then I make guacamole with the jujujang, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot about the fucking cupcakes, which I now think I should have taken the frosting of the cupcake and put it in the guacamole to make it a little sweeter.
Yeah.
And instead, I was like, fuck, I'm going to make like a crust for the chicken with the
cupcake crumbs.
Well, I did that. I cooked everything and I put it on the plate and it looked like shit on the plate. And then Johnny Weir, who's like, before the show, was like, I never cook. I don't know anything. Anyway, he doesn't even season his chicken breasts. He's just like, but his plate, he got flowers. He had nice lettuce. Like, his plate looked gorgeous, right? Just fucking gorgeous. And I fucking lost on presentation.
And oh, my God.
And it was so awful. But in the next bin... I get, you know, then they shuffle you away. You just want to cry because it takes forever for them to tell you fucking lost. And the next bin had matzah in it. So they thought I was going to win and go into the next round. And I would have made matzah bride, but fuck it. Okay, so that's my matzah story.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
First of all, I love that your Judaism, you love the history and you love the community. I love all of your messages. I feel like I know you. I'm just going to go over a couple things before we end. Scallion cream cheese. Always. Love. Always. You cannot get fucking regular cream cheese on a bagel.
Yeah. I think, and I'm like a big believer in if you are having people over and you only have one type of cream cheese.
No.
That's so goyish. Like you gotta have a variety. Okay.
I just have to say, my brother had a brunch after his daughter's wedding last weekend. And they're not food people, which is like, I don't know how you're not food people in my fucking, the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
He had a whole bunch of cream cheeses, tuna salad, an egg salad, and no bagels.
What?
He had like artisan bread. I'm like, no! And where's the herring, you fuck? This is a Jewish wedding. Okay.
Oh my God. A shonda.
Shakshuka.
Yes.
Love. This is Jewish food that is not Ashkenazi European where everyone would think.
Correct.
Rugelach. Evelyn Offner.
Oh. Literally one of my mom's clients because like my mom has been their vet forever.
And right.
She makes the best rugelach. She always bring an aluminum tray and they were like layered with plastic wrap in these things. You had to like, it was like a scavenger hunt to get them out. It was so tightly wrapped. And she would bring it to us and to keep in the freezer because she makes them so far in advance.
Right.
Save them
freezer.
For
there's so much free. All right.
Everything. Before, I do, the first question, can I freeze this?
Yes.
That's all they want to do.
We had another freezer in the basement. It was stuffed cabbage.
We had a chest freezer.
Right. Stuffed cabbage, brisket, everything. And I swear, you know, now I know it's because, oh my God, what if they come to, you know, to take us and we have to.
My grandmother, she had canned food in her trunk at all times, just in case.
Right. This is shit we need to talk about. Okay. So I just want to say that the Jews have survived. But one of the most poignant things that you say is that these recipes survived. That as we were fleeing persecution, as we've talked a lot about, and fuck you if you're sick of it, okay? You should learn from our still being here. These recipes survived.
Yeah.
I mean, and food is, I mean, to me, that is the most beautiful thing. Like, you might not have the possessions that you left, but you have, and it definitely joins you into your, you know what I mean? It connects you to the past, and I love your book so much.
Oh.
Okay. By the way,
but I think people just gravitate towards figures that they connect with. And we talk about representation. And so much of that comes down to the arts, media, ways that you want to see yourself in ways that I hadn't before. I hadn't seen many Jewish cookbooks that were flashy and beautiful and treated like any other mainstream cuisine, in the same way that, like, you're talking about your comedy or shows on TV, and it's not so often that you're able to have that free range of not being told, like, scale it back. Let's we're not doing a Yentl remake here.
Right. Yentl. I love that. Who are your food heroes? And then I have two questions for you.
Ina, I just think she is the ultimate. I love her. Just everything about her. It's so fuss-free. Her focus is on hospitality. It really it's rooted in Jewish value of not being stressed, but making sure that you're creating an experience for those you love.
Right. Are we gonna have Shabbat dinner together?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, 50,000. Yeah. Okay. I ask my podcast guests two things every podcast. Okay. Number one, we're very pro mental health. And as you know, being a J, we have a lot of anxiety, depression, ADD, which again, I believe is generation to generation, Lador Vador, trauma. So what do you do for your mental health?
I smoke a lot of weed. Lots and lots of weed. I think that's one of the most important things. We actually
Do an edible cookbook.
So I've talked about that a lot, in the sense of, I don't believe in making, like, infusing weed into your food. I want to be high and then eat.
Yes, so like I'm the same way.
And I go to LA, I just get all the gummies. I love edibles.
Yeah, I know.
But there's nothing worse than you see these fancy things like, oh, and I infuse it into your appetizer and your entree. So great, you're going to eat this meal and then go home, and an hour later you're going to be starving.
Right. That's true. Okay.
But it's lots of weed, lots of exercise. I find that's very important.
Yes.
And Shabbat, I do find an incredible thing of mental health, of being able to separate, especially being in New York, being in a world of capitalism in which it's like next thing, more, and to have like moments to be like, everything can wait.
Right.
Is super important. And last but not least, when it gets too much, I go in and out of therapy.
I love therapy. Woo. Okay. So I call the podcast Kill Me Now because I get so annoyed at so many things. And I'm always like, oh my God, kill me now. I can't stand this. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world?
It's people who find the Big Bang Theory funny. I think there's this level of, I don't know. It's when it's this over kind of rose colored lens of the world and life and humor and comedy. And if it doesn't have this air of darkness in it, to me, it's completely unrelatable. And I want
to. Oh, that's so great. I love that. It's true. And, you know, facts. They're called facts, asshole. You know what's annoying me now, too, is, which I think I saved this for you, because so many people are getting their DNA done and then telling me they're like 4% Jewish. And
that's it. All of a sudden.
And it's like, and I'm like, you hate Jews. And the other thing is, you know, if you're going to call yourself a Jew, this is I'm actually trying to talk about this on stage. Like, what kind of bagel do you get? Do you get like a fucking blueberry bagel? Because you're not Jewish if you don't, you know what I mean?
I also think that we the main thing that's been pissing me off more than anything, and I'm sure we can scream at each other into the void for days, but we look at social justice movements and this kind of push on social for inclusivity and fighting for all these marginalized communities, and not seeing anyone show up for Jews ever.
Oh, ever.
Ever, especially.
And we are, we are there for all of you. You know, we started the NAACP. You know,
we wrote all the Christmas songs.
Exactly. I do a whole thing on, you know, all for the 7 days or 8 days of Christmas, whatever the fuck, 7 days of Christmas I do, like, written by a Jew. I fucking love you. please, everyone, I don't know why I'm holding it up when it's a fucking podcast, but go out and get Jew-ish for everyone, for Christmas and Hanukkah. It's just, I mean, the fucking cover, I just want to fucking eat everything. You look how cute you are. Look how fucking cute.
I had to fight for that picture, but yes, I love it.
Make challah. Make your sabich bagel sandwiches. Make shashuka a la vodka. It's just so, it's so good, and it's so rooted in history and all parts of the world. Oh, I love your latkes. The chicken schnitzel fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You think we didn't fucking invent chicken nuggets, you fuckheads? I need you. You're so much a part of my life. Like, you can ask Elisa. It's like, I'm like, shut up. I'm watching his, because the way you do your recipes on Instagram and TikTok, uh-huh. It's like, wait, okay, I got to watch it again. 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 And the way you do it, it's like, you just have to do this and then this and then this and this, and then that's it. And then it's great. And then you eat. I love you.
That's it. Everything's easy. It's all easy. Everyone's going to love to cook. Everyone's going to learn to cook. It's all going to be great.
You are the next hope. You are going to be such a fucking icon. And I just wish you only the best and keep up the good work. And I want to work with you because I fucking love you. I feel like you're my, you know, came out of my fucking. Aren't you tall too?
I'm 6'4". You have tall Jewish sons.
I'm 6'2". Oh my God, this is perfect. Oh my God, I could love you so much.
Oh wow, that's yeah. Amazing. You might have had straight boys, but like I also think that having two tall Jewish straight sons.
Yes.
It's kind of
6'7".
Shut the fuck up.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Wow, that's kind of iconic. That's iconic.
Yeah, he plays basketball.
But you know what it is? It's good for the Jews.
Yes, it's good for the Jews. Oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much.
Truly an honor and a privilege.
Oh my God. All right. That's it, folks. Go fuck yourselves.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Jake Cohen. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. Please make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please, 5 stars. It helps more people find the podcast and then I can keep doing the podcast. You know what I'm saying? It's Hanukkah, as I said in the beginning. You can buy my book, yes, I can say that, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, as a great Hanukkah gift. That's me trying to do Israeli accent. Doesn't work. You can buy Jake's book, Jew-ish. You can get a cameo. You can get a cameo where I'll say Happy Hanukkah. What? There's so much to do. You know, I'm here for you. So there you go. I love you all. Thank you. And please, I got my booster. You need to get your booster. It's very important. I didn't have any symptoms except my arm hurt. And I was a little tired, but I'm always tired because I'm old. Listen, be well, be safe, and laugh, because that's the most important thing. And as we always say, so long!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.